And it is a precious chapter, one of my favorites. If I had a little time, I probably would preach from that tonight on revival. But, Brendan, you got a strong voice. Good to see you back. Once you read, help my eyes. I had put some medication on it tonight and blurred. 1 John 1, verse 7, 8, and 9. Read it out nice and loud for me. I'd appreciate it very much, Brendan. Isn't that a beautiful passage? Max Lucado is famous for a lot of his writings, and he tells some beautiful stories. This one is really in particular is very sad. Let's call her Rebecca. I'll give you her phone name, but that's not important at this time. She was abducted by two men who raped her on the Fremont Bridge. It was so terrible that she and begged them not to do anything to her younger sister. And then they threw her younger sister over the bridge. And the sister landed on concrete piling and was probably killed instantly. Now, Rebecca landed in the water, hit the part of the bridge, but landed out in deep water and survived. And she was crouched between rocks there in that cold water all night, hoping that somebody would hear her moans. And it wasn't until next day that they found her still conscious. And then, of course, taken to the hospital, she revived. And she learned about her sister that was killed. Her heart was deeply pained. But the pain was yet to come because she had to stand the trial, or at least for the trial. And the two men were there. And every now and then, one of the men would take his finger, you know, in this motion. Otherwise, I'm going to slit your throat. I'm going to cut your throat. But she testified. Both of them were found guilty and sentenced to prison for a few years. Sometimes the judicial system is not really just. They should have gotten a lot more years than that. And they were let out on parole. But the very day they were to be let out on parole, she and her husband went back to the bridge. She asked to go back to the bridge. And she was recounting some of the things, the details of the story or the incident. And Rebecca started to cry. And her husband took the child, she had a child, to the car. And when he was going to the car, because he didn't want to see the child, to see how emotional she was, and all of a sudden, he heard a splash. Rebecca plunged to her death there off the same bridge. Mr. Licato said, died twice. The first form of death was an emotional death, the scar that was in that poor woman's life. She never got over it. Maybe it was fear. She didn't have anything to be guilty of. It wasn't her fault. She was a victim of an awful act. But the story ends very sadly as she took her life. But there's another story has a better ending. The one in John chapter 8. Here a group of men who apparently were spying on this woman and only to find or to catch her in an act of adultery. It's hard to imagine the scene, but apprehending her, grabbing her and saying, now we've got you. We use a little bit of imagination. And according to Moses' law, you're going to be stoned to death. But that wasn't the real reason why they spied on that poor woman. That dear soul, no doubt, going through the streets, trembling. Can you imagine the neighbors looking out of the window? And they knew her. She had the reputation. It was nothing new. But a head down, perhaps poorly clad, and you talk about shame with this poor woman. Somebody might say, serve her right for the type of life she was living. But finally, the real object of why they spied on her, and the Bible doesn't say much about that, but they had to spy on her to catch her, but they wanted to catch the Lord Jesus. That was the object, you see. They wanted Christ to pass sentence. And they brought her to the Lord. I wonder why they didn't bring the man. You ever thought of that? That wretch got away free, like many of the men today. They got away free. But God caught up with him later on. I'll guarantee you that. However, here she is in the presence of the Lord, weeping, shameful, head down. This woman was caught in adultery. And according to Moses' law, she should be stoned. What say ye? They wanted the Lord Jesus to pass sentence, and he couldn't do that. That came under the Roman authorities. Just to catch him, you see. But the Lord knew their tricks. And he did something that I wish I knew what he wrote. All preachers, I've heard so many preachers suggest what he wrote, giving psalms and different things. I cannot do it. I am not going to speculate. I don't know. But I know one thing. That same finger who wrote on the ground was the same finger who wrote on the tablet of stone, the Ten Commandments. They were the commandments of God. And they were a law given to Israel that was of very, very importance. And that law has been fought by liberals even today. And many of the, as you know, in America especially, the Ten Commandments is a battle going on. But that finger of Christ wrote those laws. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And then also the law was, if any would be taken in adultery, they should be stoned to death. And can you imagine the plight of this poor woman? Because, you know, in Israel or in Palestine, there are so many stones. I've never been there, but they say nothing but stones out in the countryside at that time in the townships. As she looked down, she figured those stones would be her death. That same finger wrote again. Remember Belshazzar? The writing on the wall. That was a writing of condemnation, not the commandments now. But this man defied God and the laws of God. And he wrote on the wall, me, tickle your fasten. Your weight on the balance and you're wanting, you're found wanting. It was that same finger who wrote the condemnation of that great king, that great monarch. And he was brought down. But this time, Jesus writes on the ground. And while he was writing, he said, which one of you that are without sin, you've never sinned, you cast the first stone. And then he started to write again. Can you imagine the scene? Those same men, from the oldest to the youngest, they gradually went out one by one, maybe two by two, until no one was left there. Only the woman standing, still bowed in shame. This writing on the ground, whatever he wrote this time, I've likened it to a writing of compassion. A writing of compassion. And Jesus looked at her and says, where are those that have judged you and condemned you? She says, I have none. And Jesus said, neither do I find you guilty. You go, but don't sin anymore. Stern message he gave to that poor woman. But the thing is this, as our passage was read by Brendan so well tonight, isn't it? If we what? If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from just half of our unrighteousness or our sins. Is that what it says? I'm so glad. If we confess our sin, he is faithful to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, sin has consequences, but that's not what I want to emphasize tonight. We know the wages of sin is what? Death. Sin does pay very heavy wages. Shame. The sin of those men that raped Rebecca. And poor Rebecca took her life. It ended in death, even though she was the innocent party, innocent person. But sin does that. And the world is filled with this tonight. I wish somebody could have told Rebecca about the Lord Jesus Christ and been able to say, Rebecca, I've got good news for you. Christ forgives all your sin. And as if it never happened to you, God will eradicate that and He'll give you strength. But what her mind must have just caved in, and her emotion was too much for her. The fear in her heart, men getting out of prison that day. And so Rebecca plunged to her death off the Fremont Bridge. And you know, there's a lot of people wounded tonight, even in Spanish Wells. You'd be surprised how many have been wounded by sin. You'd be surprised how many people are not happy. They can't smile anymore. The joy has been gone because of sin and failure, you know. And maybe I'm speaking to somebody here tonight, and you look back and you say, well, I know that's me. I failed the Lord. I want to remind you again, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And listen, I like what Mr. McKenzie used to say when the devil used to tempt him, an old Scottish preacher we had in the Bahamas, a godly man. His wife was godly to Mrs. McKenzie. He used to torment him because of failure and say, how do you know you're saved? And he used to point at Mr. McKenzie's, some of his failings. And Mr. McKenzie would take him to the Word of God, John chapter 5 and John chapter 3. And I remember Mr. McKenzie one day when he came across one verse in John 5. And he said, as he read the verse out, he was reading it to us, of course. And he said, devil, read that. He said, you know, the devil never bothered me anymore. I want to suggest to you, if the devil puts you on such a guilt trip and you're weighed down and you're burdened and you don't even feel like going to meeting and you don't sing anymore, you know, you just lost your joy. That's what sin does. Takes away the joy of the believer. But you know something? Take him to 1 John 1:9. If the devil tempts you like that and you say, devil, read that. Okay? But you got to claim it. You have to claim it to your heart. Remember what David said? When he confessed the sin in Psalm 51, I'm not suggesting the sin of adultery or fornication, just sin in general, sin, because we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And don't make no mistake about it, just because you might be a believer, listen, always the possibility of giving in to sin. But if we confess our sin, it's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Boy, that's precious, isn't it? Wonderful, the forgiveness of God. That's powerful prayer. Father, we thank You for Your love, Your kindness. And we realize that that same finger that wrote the commandments, which we could not keep because Thy word says, if we fail in one of the commandments, we're guilty of all. This causes us to cringe tonight, Father. As we read the commandments, we know that we couldn't keep them and we've failed. But then we thank You that now there's no condemnation like that of Belshazzar when he wrote on the wall the judgment of that man. But his writing of compassion now. And he turns to that poor woman. Neither do I condemn thee, but go and sin no more. Oh, we thank You for those words of love, those words of compassion. And we pray indeed that You bless it to our hearts tonight. And give us the strength and the power to live that life for Your glory day by day. And should there be any in our meeting tonight, Lord, that are not saved, oh God, grant that they will turn to You. And know the joy of sins forgiven. For all of Your dear children, too, that will live in the enjoyment of our salvation. Help us, Lord, not to endure Thee, but to enjoy Thee day by day in Your blessed word and in our walk for Your glory. We thank You for the songs that have been sung tonight. We thank You for our young people. We thank you for their participation in the choir. We pray that you'll continue to bless them. Lord, there are many hearts that are wrenched with pain tonight. The fear of death, fear of cancer, and for those who sorrow because of loss of loved ones, we commend them to your grace at this time. Remember us for good, Lord, and those who are sorrowing even in our own island, we pray special blessings to be with each one. Oh, God, garrison our minds and our hearts and help us to walk to glorify you day by day. And we thank you for the word of Brother Keith the other evening. And even now with his flu, we pray, Lord, that you'll help him to get rid of this virus and that he will be strong and be able to go on preaching the word of God. Remember all of your servants, Father. We commend them to you. Remember Cassidy, who is not well, who perhaps would have been speaking tonight. We pray that you'll be everything to him and encourage his heart as our prayer. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.